This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose. I am your host. Let me ask you this. How many times have you swallowed your truth, softened your voice, or learned to stay quiet just to belong? Well, today's conversation is about what happens when you stop muting yourself and let your full voice change your life. Today's guest is Barbara McPhee. She's a master voice coach, a keynote speaker, author, a singer, songwriter, and song leader whose work is rooted in the voice of transformation. She's the author of Full Voice, The Art and Practice of Vocal Presence, and has released six CDs, and she's counting. Barbara is devoted to investigating and turning this radical aliveness through song with you and midwifing voices into their full power. She's also the leader of a hospice choir, bringing voice, presence, and humanity to the life's most lit, tender threshold moments. Barbara's work helps people reclaim their voices, not just to sing, but to live, lead, and show up fully. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a beautiful introduction. I can tell you.
Oh,
thank you.
It's all you. It's all you. I might even ask you to sing this version, you know, because you got to get some song in there.
Absolutely. We'll have that maybe be the dessert for.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like to lead with dessert. So you got to watch me. You got to watch me. Right. So, the theme around this today, audience, is your voice isn't just sound, it's identity, it's permission, and it's power. And we're going to get the great story coming from our guest today, Barbara. Barbara, you work with voices every day. What do you see as the real cost, emotionally and spiritually, of people living without access to their full voice?
You know, it's huge, and it actually gets me up in the morning and gets me working, because I think we all come to this world with gifts.
Yes.
And our job while we're here is to love and be loved and give our gifts.
That's
and
great.
It breaks my heart when someone's gifts don't get expressed. That's tragedy. I've spent a lot of time at bedsides of people who are dying in my singing work. Mm-hmm. And this really sad deaths are the ones where people feel like they haven't really done what they came to do, or they haven't expressed themselves. So I feel like it's a profound thing. It can affect us physically, emotionally, certainly spiritually. And what I think is confusing to people is that it can be scary, but it's not a big, huge thing to wake up our voices. They're usually ready to help us if we just find a way to engage them and kind of let them out of the closet inside the great big mansion that we have.
So you just said something that tweaked my interest. They, the voices, explain that.
I think voice has its own intelligence. I know I my voice feels like it's a part of me, but it is not necessarily connected just to like my little ego, Barbara. And I think this is true for people know this all over the world. That's why we sing to the divine all the time. That is
why
singing is so moving. That's why the song at the, you know, your theme song of the show had me like my heart pounding hard. Music is a voice. Singing is a powerful reach to other worlds. And in fact, our language tells us that. The root of the word voice is vocare. And what it also is the root of is words like vocation or calling in the world. Advocacy, which is when we use our voice on behalf of other people, And my personal favorite, invocation, when we call the divine into the world through the sound of our voice.
That's beautiful. Oh my gosh, she just woke up a whole lot of things in me. Do you think that we all have that?
Yes. Oh, I guess the human condition.
Oh, that's good. That is so good. You know, because I hear people say, I can't sing. And I've never had a voice lesson in my life. And I was like, wow, I can sing. How did that even happen? Yeah, but you explain that, like the human condition. Explain.
Well, we live in a world where, I mean, I've made actually 9 recordings. Things have progressed since whenever you read the bio that I put on my website. Yeah. I have to, it's like, update.
Well, I did say 7 and counting.
That's true. But anyway, I've been a busy girl since I wrote that. But
that's
I'm
awesome.
Discovering, like, oh, update awesome. Is required. But I've watched people redraw sound waves in the studio mm-hmm. and tune everything to perfection. And so there's the things we're hearing are unnatural. They're perfect. They're not even human.
Right.
And then also in so many pockets of our culture, the singing isn't there. A lot of people aren't like going to church, or if they are, the singing's awful, or they have to read paper, notes on paper. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. And so I think a lot of people feel like if they can't do it perfectly or make their living at it, then they really shouldn't.
They're not singing,
And I am a proud matriarch of the oral tradition community singing in the Twin Cities area, where I've lived my whole life within about an hour of the Twin Cities. And I started decades ago getting people together to sing without paper, just call and response here. This is a simple song, and built it. And now I have to say, as we're recording this, a lot of the people who came up in that singing community are now the ones that are leading 600 people through the streets singing. So I do feel like there's a movement, not just in the Twin Cities, but all over the US, where people are gathering, especially a lot of young people are gathering to sing in this way together. And sometimes there are a few people who are a little out of tune and nobody dies from that. You know, we sound great.
I find that culturally and tribally, we all sing.
Absolutely. All sing. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. Our ancestors get us here. You know, they sang to survive.
Yeah.
And to like bring meaning and remember the stories. And
there was
before there was printing presses, there was sing, song and story and dance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you just replicated whatever was happening. You just joined in and followed the lead. There was no charts. There was no writing. It was just there. Yeah. So that's so true. We have to go back to that.
And
so
that. And it reminds us, I did 2 TED Talks. One was on my voice work, and then the other was about the power of oral tradition singing. And in that TED Talk I had about 1,000 people in the room, and I started them singing something simple and said, I'm not going to tell you when it's over. We are. And I felt 1,000 people decide when that song was over. I'd already done it with like 50, 60, 100, 300 people before, but I had no idea if they were going to do it, and they did. And so I think it wakes up something about our collective intelligence, our deep connection, and it makes us less lonely.
Yeah, I agree with that. For many people, silence was once a survival strategy. How do you help someone honor why they went from quiet without staying there forever? How do you help them out of that?
Absolutely. I was a singer, you know, in choirs and things, but I never, never wanted to sing a solo ever. It was my worst fear, you know, so I am a walking, talking product of my own work. And for me, it is frightening you know, and a lot of what shut me down was scary business, you know, and so I have empathy. The wounded healer, all of us are that, you know, most of us are helping work. We've come through something. And I've worked with people who have been horribly hurt. And I'm very moved by the sound that comes out when they finally let that out. It's unbelievable. I also like to invite people to step outside of who they think they are, out of their story.
Right.
Characters and archetypes to help people open up different sounds in their voice, not just talking, not singing pretty, but actually like making a lot of sound big and act like someone that they're not. And I think that helps loosen the identity enough. Our stories are all too small for us, no matter who we are. And so we can pretend. I know I made a huge leap in my own voice. I used to think, my voice ended here when I started doing my own recovery. And in my first weekend working with these amazing teachers from the south of France, I made noise up here.
Wow.
This changed my whole story.
Yeah.
I couldn't fit back in the story of who I was anymore. And no one ever asked me for all the sound I had.
Right.
And it was liberating to get outside of trying to be perfect and nice and appropriate and whatever.
Yes.
And just a little wild or shrill or stupid or hairy, whatever it is. So I think that really helps loosen up that tension. People laugh a lot.
Yes.
We cry a lot, mostly laughing, but some tears too. And basically, I just started a new online class last night. And at the end of it, I went around and asked the people how they were feeling. They're like, you know, I just feel really alive and curious. And I'm like, good. That's a good place to be.
Yeah. I incorporate in my retreats, I incorporate dance. Freestyle dancing and voice, like a tribal, give it a noise, give it a noise. If you're crying, give it a noise. Yeah. And just recently, I'm recovering from having a femur and hip surgery. And so I'm reminded, you know, give it a noise, you know, give it a noise and release it. And I discovered that's why I heal so quickly is because if it doesn't feel good, give it a noise.
Make
a noise, you know, make a noise and try to get yourself to that high pitch, like you were talking about. Get to that higher pitch. You may be low, but you want to get up there to that pitch. And my friend was like saying to me, you know what you're doing, right? I said, I have no idea, but I know to give it a noise, you know, give it voice, because I too was quiet. Like I was like, you know, I was muted. I think I didn't speak after 12. Once, you know, once I told my mother about the sexual abuse and she didn't believe me, I stopped talking.
Bless your heart.
I stopped talking. I just stopped talking. And, you know, I gave words like, you know, yes, no, maybe, you know, but anything else, I suppressed it. I didn't talk until I was about 18 or 19.
Wow. Yeah. And that, I wish I could say that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the secrets. If, you know, people don't tell, or if they do and they get believed, it's going to lodge in your throat.
Because
truth comes up from your guts, you know, from
that place inside.
And if it can't get out, it's got to go. It's going to. And here's the thing. Some people talk about it getting stuck, and I believe that. But I also think it's like patiently waiting.
And you know what? You're right, because I could, when I wasn't talking, I could feel something throbbing.
Yeah,
I just feel it throbbing all the time. And I remember going to, me and my friend, we went to this eatery. It was like a beautiful exotic. It was like a wellness restaurant. And so we went and we sat down. And that day they had a reading. And so he says, I want to read you. And I said, you want to read me? I'm like, there's like a couple hundred people in here. You know about me. And so I go up and he's like, he just, you know, he didn't touch me. Just it's in your throat. You're holding you need to work on your voice. And so my friend said, she's always telling me off. So I don't know where she's getting this from. I was like, I had to realize I don't speak what I feel. Didn't speak what I feel at all. So it's true, but I've always felt it throbbing. There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do feel like also there is something so resourceful about us I mean, I wrote journals from like 14, you know, poetry journals. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it's going to go somewhere. And sometimes it goes to self-harm. Sometimes it goes to addiction. Sometimes it goes to, you know, a lot of hard things. And a lot of the artists I know, a lot of the people who make things in this world are making, you know, gold out of crap, you know? Using that experience to build compassion, to create, and to tune into the greater spirit of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. When I didn't have a voice, I wrote every day. I could tell you right now, I've written about 33 in published, but I have 150 that I never even let out.
Wow.
Yeah, I just wrote. And I'm seeing now that this is why I wrote this, because this is, it's a bigger picture, you know, and this, you know, and it's going to another avenue. But now I'm so freed up, you know, and I'm saying, okay, I'm not writing anymore. What's happening? And then all of a sudden I said, oh, I want to do art now. So I created something it's my own body art. So what I mean by body art is I take like the piece that I did, I took my hands and I just painted them different colors and I did something with them and just used my hands and even used the sides of my fingers. I used the balls of my, and I really created a picture from that. And I was like, okay, you know, like, and so now as you're saying this, this is why this is happening. Now it's opening up another avenue to start to grow. That's really beautiful. And I think that that brings us into that, what you talk about, that phrase, radical aliveness. Mm-hmm. What does that actually look like in the body?
Mm. Oh, my goodness. I always want, you know, I do this for years. Over 20 years, the person who set me free in my voice originally, we eventually started working together and worked together for over 20 years. And now he, you know, but I was... So, and now my nephew, who has been trained in my work too, now we've taken over because my teacher doesn't want to fly across the ocean anymore at 80.
Yes.
We are going to be doing another one this spring here where I live, near the Twin Cities. And we're going to take before and after pictures. We have talked about it for years because the pictures of people, they are lit up and in a way and fully embodied because they've gone down the basement and they've pushed all the edges that usually confine us. They've just pushed that out. And it can be loud. It can be soft. It can be, you know, one person just went into this this huge no. And I've been working with this person's voice for a long time, this woman's voice. And the sound that came out of her, it was beautiful. It was fierce. But I get to hear sounds that feel like they come from other worlds. So to me, it's about just living in our full humanity. And it's also beautiful to see what happens. I mean, I work one-on-one with people. I work online with classes and then some in-person things. Right. But to watch what happens among people as well, they kind of light up their little mycelial networks between them. So it's an individual experience, but it's not, and I think it echoes throughout the world. Like when anybody finds their voice, it makes it easier for the next person. And then I know we are healing back too, because I am not the first silenced woman in my line, and neither are you. And men have a different kind of contortion that they have to go through, because to be man in this culture is to be dead.
Right.
You don't move, you don't feel, you don't wear color, you don't move your, you know, it's like there's a lot of rigidity, especially in white men, sorry, but it's true. And so I just feel like there's all these bonds and boundaries around all of us, no matter who we are, and we can support each other's liberation and have fun while we're doing it.
Yes.
Arduous work. It can be glorious.
That's the key to have fun. That's it. To have fun while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Some people are afraid of speaking up. And I think that was my problem. I was afraid of being heard.
Oh.
What do you notice that comes up when people realize their voice might actually change things?
Mm. Well, it's this lovely mix of terror and delight, I think. And it probably depends on the day, you know?
Yes. Okay.
And to me, I feel like there are, no matter who we are, we usually have some parts of our voice that are functioning well. And I use the elements to the five right. elements to sort of identify five different sounds in the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, water, metal, and air. And most of us kind of have a mix of a couple of those that we're mm-hmm. very comfortable in. And then other parts are like, oh, that is so weird. I don't get that. I don't like that. And so for me, it's not about finding, people say, I want to find my real voice or something. It's like, oh, well, let's not make that singular. Your voice is a whole universe. And why
right.
for me, it's about what are the possibilities present in your voice in all of its colors, because mm-hmm. there's a time and place for all of them.
Right.
You don't want to say a no, like, no, in your water voice. You don't want to say, I'm really excited in your earth voice, it's like, these are absurd examples, but a lot of us live in that, where we are feeling. I worked with this one guy who was really passionate about his work, but he was an introverted guy from North Dakota, white guy.
Mm.
So his like excitement looked like one step away from a coma. And I mean, I'm from Minnesota, so I'm loving on my stoic people,
Right.
So I feel like the idea is to expand your flexibility right. and yeah. accessibility to different sounds, and then be able to also listen
mm-hmm.
for the gifts of other people. So that person who might be talking, who looks a little dull, you
yeah,
might
the earth.
Often
yeah.
ask the question, so tell me, are you the person who stays calm when the rest of your group is
right.
going crazy? And they're like, well, yeah. So I don't know if I'm right, but it makes me ask smarter questions, and it makes me listen more with more accuracy to what I'm hearing under the words.
Yeah. Do you think awakening all of these voices would help introverts come out?
I've worked with so many introverts, and I always mm-hmm. kind of connect it to speaking another language.
Got it.
Right?
Got it.
Your mother tongue is your mother tongue.
Right.
Always going to feel more, silence is always going to feel more comfortable for
right.
a lot of introverts. And the question of authenticity comes up a lot in this work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh,
right.
I can't do that because it doesn't feel like me. And it's like, well, get a bigger me.
Right. Yes. That's right. how I feel. Get a bigger me. Yes.
Stretch that story. That's like one version. What else you got? And so it's possible to play in these. And this is also where the characters can come in. You can mm-hmm. play act. And that same guy who sounded kind of dull on a video
mm-hmm.
talking about his passion.
Right.
Got him. Preaching a bit, going all the way out. It's like, okay, let's say that like Dr. King would have said it.
Right.
It's like, let's take on the preacher. Let's take on the, whatever, a character. And then like, see, how does that feel? And how much of that can I bring into
right.
how I normally feel? So we always take it way, way out to the exaggerated
right.
first, and then
right.
see how much you can integrate and still feel like yourself. And I
yes.
know I've done this for myself too. I hated that. I hated the air voice. I'm 6'2". I'm from Minnesota. I'm smart and serious, and so
yes.
I hated that voice. And now I've welcomed it back home.
Right.
And I sing there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, I'm mostly a belty kind of jazzy girl, but
yes.
I can go into that tenderness and that softness.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed how I am. I feel
right.
it's lightened me, softened me. I move differently. I even dress differently. So,
oh, wow, that's great. That's good. Your work isn't just about singing. It's about presence. How does reclaiming one's voice shift how people lead, love, and set boundaries?
Great question. You're good at this. Lead, love, and set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think most everything we are doing is built on relationship. Okay. I was an organization. I was an organizational development consultant for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of conflict resolution in that time. And so often what I saw in the conflict was not necessarily what people said, but how they said it.
Right.
With every good intention. We didn't work with people who were horrible. You know what I mean?
We were
to say, oh, I don't think we're your consultants. Thank you so much. We'll go. But so often the disconnects were about tone and not really listening. So I think I would love for this kind of training to be in every leadership program in every university.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and that's why I've been training people to do this work. There's about 75 people who know how to deliver the five elements framework, which is the core of my work. I just feel like this is such an important part of our lives, and we get very little support in how to use our voice as well.
Yeah.
You know, or if we do, we take a classical lesson, la, 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 you know, which doesn't always translate back to a workplace or a family relationship or a community conflict. And so I think the becoming really more intimate with your own vocal options and then being able to listen more specifically to other human beings and to be able to moderate. And people talk about code switching a lot, especially my African-American friends. We are all code switching all the time.
Yes, yes.
We talk to our pets and our bosses differently, I hope.
I really hope.
And so to be more conscious about where and when and how we are speaking our truth, if it's not working, we might be able to shift. So if fire's a little too intense, we might be able to go into some water and still feel true to who we are.
Right.
Because if we really want something to happen, we're looking for a human connection. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. And so I think that's the setting a boundary. I have worked with so many people who don't have any earth in their voices, especially women. Right. And to be able to, one of the women that I carry sort of in my psyche that helps me with my own gravitas is Maya Angelou. Because I got to see her read years ago and she walked out and I was like, oh, that's possible. You know, that kind of gravitas, warmth, brilliance. And when I think of her, it changes the way I speak. So sometimes if you're not you, your little identity, your little ego self isn't ready to sort of step into a part of yourself, you might call in a Maya Angelou, or you might call in the holy priestess or the warrior or, you know, some other archetype to sort of help you step into that.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I love that. So if the listeners, for the audience right now, everybody listen up really close. For someone who's listening right now who feels unseen, unheard, or disconnected from their own voice, what is one gentle, practical way they can begin to reconnect?
I think any way you can make sound. So it might be voicing your yawn in the morning.
Yes, yes.
And I wrote a song called Oh for Crying Out Loud about if you're going to cry, make sound when you cry. If you can. Most of us were violently, you know, suppressed in that way. And another way is to make a playlist of irresistible songs you just have to sing along with.
Yeah, right.
Have it pop on in your car when you get in, or when you're going to chop some food in your kitchen or clean or something. Singing is a way to open up more of range of flexibility and energy moving through your whole voice. So those are a few things.
That's great. So what I'm hearing is that voice isn't about volume, it's about permission. Mm-hmm. Permission exists fully without apology. That's what I'm hearing from you today.
Yes.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Today's conversation reminds us that your voice is not a luxury, it's a life force. When you reclaim it, you don't have to just sound different. You can live differently. So, Barbara, with last and final words, what are you doing in the next 3 months that we can kind of get behind you and push?
Well, I have an online course that takes people through the five elements, just 5 weeks. I have a new one starting in March. It's called Full Voice Fundamentals, and it is a blast. And that's a really great way to just sort of dive into the work. So that's something that's coming up fairly soon. And I will also be starting a new training for people who want to carry this work in the world. But Fundamentals is a good way to step into that. And I have so many songs and a couple TED Talks and a bunch of stuff on my website and YouTube channel. That people can visit, a bunch of fun things to fill your ears with if you're looking for some good songs to
sing. Awesome. So to learn more about Barbara McPhee's work, her book, Full Voice, The Art and Practice of Vocal Presence, and her music, connect with her and explore what it means to have radical aliveness.
You know, and I forgot, wait a minute, I forgot to mention, I'm so embarrassed. I have a new audiobook called Vocal Intelligence.
Yes.
It just came out. It came out as under a different name. So I'm not sure when it's going to land, but it's called Vocal Intelligence. And the audiobook will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And the
paper is
coming out in March. So sorry,
that's
I great. Forgot. It's just so new. Okay.
No, that's okay. We love stuff like that. And here on Keeping It Real on Purpose, we just don't talk about healing. We practice telling the truth out loud. So we thank you, Barbara,
thank you
for the message. Thank you very much. And I am your host, Edna White, and my esteemed guest, Barbara McPhee, saying goodbye for now.
Bye. Thanks.